The first night, the man orders an apple fritter. It is 3 in the morning, the street lamp is broken, and California Delta mist obscures the waterfront's rundown buildings, except for Chuck's Donuts, with its cool fluorescent glow. Isn't it a bit early for an apple fritter? The owner's 12-year-old daughter, Kaylee, deadpans from behind the counter, and Tevi, 4 years older, rolls her eyes and says to her sister, "You watch too much TV." The man ignores them both, sits down at a booth, and proceeds to stare out the window at the busted potential of this small city's downtown. Kaylee studies the man's reflection in the window. He's older, but not old, younger than her parents, and his wiry mustache seems misplaced from a different decade. His face wears an expression full of those mixed-up emotions that only adults must feel, like plaintive, say, or wretched. His light gray suit is disheveled, his tie undone. An hour passes. Kaylee whispers to Tevi, "It looks like he's just staring at his own face," to which Tevi says, "I'm trying to study." The man finally leaves. His apple fritter remains untouched on the table. "What a trip," Kaylee says. "Wonder if he's Cambodian." "Not every Asian person in the city is Cambodian," Tevi says. Approaching the empty booth, Kaylee examines the apple fritter more closely. "Why would you come in here, sit for an hour, and not eat?" Tevi stays focused on the open book resting on the laminate countertop. Their mom walks in from the kitchen, holding a tray of glazed donuts. She's the owner, though she isn't named Chuck. Her name is Soti, and she's never met a Chuck in her life. She simply thought the name was American enough to draw customers. She slides the tray into a cooling rack, then scans the room to make sure her daughters have not let another homeless man inside. "How can the street lamp be out?" Soti exclaims. "Again!" She approaches the windows and tries to look outside, but sees mostly her own reflection. Stubby limbs sprouting from a grease-stained apron, a plump face topped by a cheap hairnet. This is a needlessly harsh view of herself, but Soti's perception of the world becomes distorted when she stays in the kitchen too long, kneading dough until time itself seems measured in the number of donuts produced. "We will lose customers if this keeps happening." "It's fine," Tevi says, not looking up from her book. "A customer just came in." "Yeah, this weird man sat here for like an hour," Kaylee says. "How many donuts did he buy?" Soti asks. "Just that," Kaylee says, pointing at the apple fritter still sitting on the table. Soti sighs. "Tevi, call PG&E. Tevi looks up from her book. "They aren't gonna answer." "Leave a message," Soti says, glaring at her older daughter. "I bet we can resell this apple fritter," Kaylee says. "I swear he didn't touch it. I watched him the whole time." "Kaylee, don't stare at customers," Soti says, before returning to the kitchen, where she starts prepping more dough, wondering yet again how practical it is to drag her daughters here every night. Maybe Chuck's Donuts should be open during normal times only, not for 24 hours each day. And maybe her daughters should go live with their father, at least some of the time, even if he can hardly be trusted after what he pulled. She contemplates her hands, the skin discolored and rough, at once wrinkled and sinewy. They are the hands of her mother, who fried homemade jacquai in the markets of Battambang until she grew old and tired, and the markets disappeared, and her hands went from twisting dough to picking rice in order to serve the communist ideals of a genocidal regime. How funny, Soti thinks, that decades after the camps, she lives here in Central California as a business owner with her American-born Cambodian daughters who have grown healthy and stubborn, and still, in this new life she has created, her hands have aged into her mother's.